Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tes Vav. We are going to begin at the two dots, about 5-6 lines down from the top. We are learning today, Lili Nishmas Lana Lipner. Well, the Shams we learned for 7 Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn, Be'ezus Hashem, that the Chayalim should be safe, that everybody in Eretz Yisrael who is in captivity should be returned immediately and safely and sound, and that all those who need a Refuah Shlema should have a Refuah Shlema, Hashem Yirachem. We begin and pick up by quoting the Mishnah. It says, "V'hanoshim b'chlal hanezek." It said that women are also included in all the halachos of damages. Now, how do we know that? So we need psukim, and we'll have three different psukim that brought down. Then the Gemara will explain why we needed all three. So, first one is Amr Yehuda Amar Rab. Yehuda says the name of Rab. The Chayim Tanu Ve'Rabbi Yishmael. They also learn this in the Beis Medrash for Rabbi Yishmael. Amar Kohen Apostle tells us, "Ish o isha," says man or woman, "kiyasu mikol chatos ha'adam." And it says that they have to go bring a korban osham. So it says a man or a woman. So hishva kosav isha liish l'chol onshin shabatorah. So we see over here that the Torah equated men and women for all the isurim in the Torah. So all the los haseis, as I mentioned many times, with the exception of only three los haseis, two of them dealing with the pas of the rosh and of the zakan, they apply only to men to cut them off as osur. For a woman to cut off her pas rosha or pakas zikana would be permissible. And in regards to tumas meis, only a male kohen is forbidden to become tamei lemeis. A woman who's a bas kohen has no prohibition against becoming tamei lemeis. But otherwise, hishva kosov isha liish, men and women have identical rules, l'chol onshin b'torah, in order, all the los haseis of the Torah, and all the punishments of the Torah, men and women are equally prohibited from doing any of them, and the punishments are going to be the same for men and women in general. Now, that's the first source for Yehuda Amar Rav. Second source is from the Bei Rabbi Elazar Tana. In the Beis Medrash Rabbi Elazar, you learn the following pasuk from the start of Parshas Mishpatim, the Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tosim L'Nehem. Says, you put these Mishpatim in front of all of them, men and women. Hishva Kosev Isha L'Ish L'Kol Dinim Shabbatorah. Men and women have the same exact rules in regards to Dinim in all of the Torah. And then we have a third pasuk, the Bei Chizkiah, the Beis Medrash of Chizkiah, and likewise Rav Yosef Glili. He learned Tana the following. This is the pasuk. On my card, the pasuk says also the parshas Mishpatim. They miss ish o isha. I show you shekel v'gam be'olav you must. So it says if an ox goes and Rechmon Lissan kills a man or a woman. So again, we compare the man and the woman in the pasuk. So hishva kasa, the Torah equates ish o liish l'chol misa shebetorah for all the dinim of misa in the Torah. So we have these three psukim, and the obvious question is, why do we need three psukim? Tzricha. So the Gemara says you need all three psukim. Why? Because if you only told me the first one, the Ashminon Kamaisa, you only told me Yehuda Amar Rav, that said it's based upon the pasuk that says if you're chayef for an asham, if you do certain sins, Mo'ala mo'al ba'ashem, the pasuk says, so then it applies to a man or a woman. So what it said, Hasum hu dechas rachmano Allah, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu took mercy on the women and says, ki hechi detevi lo kapara, so she should get a kapara as well. Why should she be lacking a kapara? Only a man should get a kapara? No. So there you might have said that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that women can get a kapara too. However, avol elam ishbatim, avol dinim, who says, maybe man ish debar masu umaton, a man who normally in those days was in the business world, women were not in the business world, even today, men are more frequently in the business world than women. So one might have said that the dinim of mishpatim should only apply to men because they're bar masu matun. They're the ones that normally are in business. So therefore, the rules of business should apply to them. However, a woman, since she's not normally in the business world, ishalau. So therefore, you need to tell me the pasuk elam mishpatim comes to include men and women. No, so didn't just tell me that pasuk and I'll know the first one. No, v'yashmin andin. And if you tell me elam mishpatim only, so kihechi de tehebe lo chiyusa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to include women in the rules, even though they're not so much involved in business, because they need it for chiyusa. Rashi says, di'ilo, if we didn't include women in all the rules of business, so havoy b'chlal dinim, heavy parse tagre mina. So then, merchants aren't going to want to deal with women because they'll not have the protection, if you wish, of the laws behind them. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it that women are included in Eila Mishpatim. However, kapara, who says that a woman has to bring a carbon? Maybe ish the bar mitzvah in, since a man has more mitzvah, so in, he has to go and bring kapara. He has to go and get karbanos to give him a kapara. Aval isha, the lab bas mitzvah, she doesn't have as many mitzvahs as the man. She doesn't have all the mitzvahs that say she has man groma. So therefore, lo, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu said she doesn't need such a kapara. So therefore, you need both of these first two psukim. However, what about the third pasuk? If we only had these two, v'yashmin and hani tarati, if we only had the first two psukim, I would have said, okay, we need the first one, ha'ach mishum kapara, teaches that women also need a kapara. And we need the second one, ha'ach mishum chiyusa, because we need women to be able to survive in the world. So if they didn't have the rules of business, people wouldn't want to deal with them. So therefore, you need those two psukim. But you know what I would have said? I believe in the Ketala, the third pasuk, They miss Ish or Isha. You know what it was said? Ish de bar mitzvah, a man who has more mitzvahs, and therefore, if the ox gores him, there should be the shalim kofer. There should be a payment of kofer. However, Isha, who has less mitzvahs, I would have said, maybe not, lo. Therefore, you couldn't have learned it out automatically. And therefore, you need the third pasuk as well. No, so just tell me the third pasuk. Yes, minun kofer. If you only told me the third pasuk, I would have said, mishum te'iko ibud neshama. That's because we make men and women in this situation, both, Rachmon al-San, if the ox gores them and kills them, so then there's a penalty. For the man and for the woman, you have to pay the kofar because there's death over here. There's nebuch ibud neshama, there's loss of life. So that's why you have to pay both for men and women. But you know, taka, avolhani tarti, the lack of ibud neshama, both by the first two psukim for kapara and for chayusa, there isn't any loss of life. So maybe you would have said, aim alone, that women shouldn't be included. Therefore, we need a three psukim over here, specifically tzricha, to teach us that men and women are equated 100% across all of these dinim. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah, which said, "Hanizak v'amazik b'tashlumim." We had this somewhat enigmatic statement that said that both the Nizak and the Mazik are involved in the Tashlumim. So what does this mean? So Itmar. So this is going to be the source of a machlokis over here, a famous machlokis as to how we view the chatzi nezek that a short tam pays. The owner of the short tam, he has to pay chatzi nezek. So is that based upon a financial remuneration for the damage that was done, or is technically, there is no financial obligation, but this is a knas. So this is a famous machlokis, Itmar. Palgoniska, this chatzi nezek of a short time. Rapapa says, on my mamona, he says, this is a regular damage payment. It has nothing to do with the knas. Then why don't you pay full damages? We'll explain in a moment. But this chatzi nezek is just straight out compensation for the damage that was done. Obich, only have to pay half, which we'll explain again in a moment why. Whereas Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, he says, no. You technically shouldn't have to pay anything. And this is a knas that the rabbis instituted because you didn't watch your ox. But since you weren't expecting this ox to go and cause so much trouble, we only make you pay half the damages, but it's a knas. So Rav Papa says it's money, it's a compensation. And Rav Huna Brady Yeshua says it's a knas, a penalty that the rabbis instituted in this situation. What's the understanding of this, of machlokis? So Rav Papa, Mamamona, Rav Papa says that this is a financial repayment for the damage that you did. Kisavar, his opinion is, stam shvarim lav b'cheskas shimur kaimon. He says that the typical ox does have a tendency to go and damage. It's not considered unusual and absolutely unheard of that an ox should go and gore, even if it's never gored before. Obedinu, and therefore, the boiler shlomi kule. You should have had to have played Nezek Shalem. However, Rachmana, the Torah, who the chosale, the Torah took mercy on this person, because after all, the akati loiai tore, this shor hadn't shown and demonstrated itself to be a damaging shor, it hadn't gored three times, and therefore, while it is possible that it should gore, it's unlikely that it should gore, and therefore, while it's not considered fully immune, so to say, from goring, the Torah took mercy on the guy and said, since we didn't know that this ox had this tendency, so we'll only make you pay half of the damages that you should have had to pay. But you should have had to pay the full damages, and the Torah took mercy upon him, and therefore we only make him pay half. But it is a compensation. It is a payment for damage that was done, albeit the Torah took mercy on him and didn't have to make him pay the entire amount. On the other hand, Rehuna Brei Yeshua Amar Knasa. Rehuna Brei Yeshua said, no, this is a knas, this is a penalty, because Kesavar Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur Kaimei. Because Rehuna Brei Yeshua's opinion is that oxen don't gore until they've demonstrated that they do gore. So therefore, a typical shor tam who hasn't gored before, hasn't gored three times before, so it is considered in a guarded state, b'cheska shimur kaimi, and therefore, technically, u'bedinu d'lo l'shalim klal. Since it would be unusual for this ox to gore, you technically don't have to pay anything. There are no damages over here that you would be obligated for because this wasn't an usual thing. And therefore, you're not held responsible. So min hadin d'lo l'shalim klal, you shouldn't pay anything. However, the Torah said, listen, bottom line is, we all know that oxes can gore. And therefore, Rachmanahu dekan, say the Torah, made a knas over here on the owner, ki hechid elintrei l'sorei, that he should go and watch ashore. Min hadin, you shouldn't have to pay anything. However, the Torah said, we're giving a knas over here of chatzi nezek that you should have to pay. So this is the fundamental difference between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yeshua as to how we understand chatzi nezek that a short tam pays. Now, our Mishnah seems to go against the opinion of Rav Huna Brei Yeshua. Tonight, we learned in our Mishnah, ha-nizak v'ha-mazik v'tashlumim, that both the nizak and the mashlim and the mazik are involved over here in the tashlumim. So bishlam leman diyomer palgonisko mamona, according to Rav Papa, who says that this is a repayment, a compensation for damages, so then, hainu d'shayach, now we understand why nizak v'tashlumim, because technically, he should have gotten all of it. He should have gotten nezik shalim. And we're penalizing the Nizak, and we're making the Mazik have to pay each half. So therefore, we understand how the Nizak and the Mazik are involved in the Tashlumim over here. Each of them, so to say, is paying half. The Nizak is losing half that he should have gotten, and the Mazik has to pay half, even though he should have had to pay the full amount, but each of them has to pay something, so to say, and therefore we understand the Mishnah very well, according to our Papu, says it's Mamona, it's a compensation, it's a payment. I know the Shaykh Nizak with Tashlumim. That's how the Nizak is involved in the Tashlumim. But if you're telling me, according to Rav Huna Ben Yeshua, Elamam Diyoma, Palga Nizka Knasa, if you're telling me that it's a Knas, so the Nizak is sitting pretty. He shouldn't have gotten anything. And the Torah gave him 50%, gave him Chatzi Nezek. He didn't pay a cent for that. He really got nothing. He should have gotten nothing. He was entitled to nothing. And the Torah gave him 50%. Hashna. So how can you say, since nothing was really taken from him, he wasn't entitled to anything, and now he's getting half? Where do we see that the Nizak is involved in the Tashlumim? According to Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, our Mishnah is difficult to understand. Somebody says, no, it's not. Lo Nitzucha, we do say over here that the Nizak is also involved, Ela L'Pchas Nevela, as we spoke about already many times, that Pchas Nevela is the carcass of the behemoth, how much it goes down in value. So right away, when the animal nebuch is gored and the animal dies, so the carcass is worth $50. If you let it sit for a day or two, so it starts to spoil. Now it's only worth $25. Even the dogs don't want to eat it so much. So therefore, this pachas nevela, this deterioration in the nevela, who's that the responsibility of? So we learned previously that Nizak assumes that loss. The Nizak gets this carcass, so to say, the minute it's destroyed, the minute Nebuch the carcass is created, the animal was killed. So it belongs now to the Nizak. So if the carcass is worth $50, quickly go and sell it for $50. Your tircha, your trouble, you have to go and take care of it. Now if it's only worth $25, you lost that $25. So therefore, this is how we have the Nizak is also involved in the Tashlumim. That's what Rav Huna ben Yehoshua would have to say. Where it says, wait a second, Bechas Nevela, Hotom L'Reisha. We already learned that. We had this din the other day when we said that you pay Tashlume Nezek. The word Tashlume was unnecessary. And we had darshan that it says Tashlume Nezek to teach us that you're Mashlume, that you have to make up the difference. And therefore, Malami Shabbalim, Mitaplim Benevela. And we learned that out to teach us that the original owner, the Nizak, he's the one that has to go take care of the carcass. And therefore, any depreciation in the carcass is going to be on his dime. It's going to be his cost. So why would you tell it to me again? Someone says, no, we needed it twice. We needed one time to teach us the halacha in regards to a short time, and one time to teach us the halacha in regards to a short muad, that b'chas nevela is the deterioration is at the expense, so to say, of the nizak. Utsricha, why do you need both? Because if you only told me the yashmin and tam, if you only told me din by tam, I would have said, no, mishum da'akati lo yayit, because the animal hadn't yet become a shor muad. So therefore, we make the nizak have to suffer, because the poor mazik, it wasn't a shor muad. Abu muad, I would have said, by a muad, listen, you should have watched your animal better, and therefore we're going to throw the book at you, including that you're going to suffer the depreciation. Aim below, and therefore you need to tell me by shor muad. No, so just tell me by shor muad, vi yashmin muad. You know what I would have said? Mishum da komishalim kule, since the guy is paying the entire amount, so therefore we at least give him like a consolation prize that the Nizak will suffer the deterioration, the b'chas nevela, in the carcass. So that's because he's paying the full price. Avol tam, since he's only paying half, chatzi nezek, aim alone. Maybe he shouldn't have to also get the benefit of the depreciation going to the Nizak. Maybe in that situation, the depreciation should be, and the carcass should be at the dime of the mazik. Therefore, tzricha, we need to tell it to us twice. So we still have this machlokas. Is it mamona or is it kinos? Toshva, try to bring a raya from the Mishnah that we're going to learn in Mi'etz Hashem in tomorrow's year on Tes Zayin Omud Beis. So it tells us over there, Ma Bein Tam Lemuad. What are the differences in halacha between a short tam and a short muad? So it's going to tell us, Sha Tam Mishalim Chatzi Nezek Mikufo. That besides the fact that the tam pays Chatzi Nezek and the short muad, the owner pays the full Nezek, but the tam, you only pay from the guf. As we mentioned previously, let's say the tam is worth $200 and it gores something that is worth $500. So then we don't say, well, listen, the half damage is $250. This tam is only worth $200, so he should have to take $50 out of his pocket, the owner of this tam, to make up the chatzi nezek. No, you only pay from the guf of the shor itself. So that's true by a tam, but that's not true by a muad. Muad mishalim nezek shalim in aliyah. Muad, you have to pay from the best of your properties. Metav sadeh or metav karmi yishalim, you have to pay the full amount, even if the muad is only worth $200. They gored the ox and killed the ox. It's worth $500. So the additional $300, you'd have to go and pay from your own pocket, or the entire $500 you have to pay metav sadeh or metav karmi yishalim. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah mentions, is the difference between short tam and short muad. But if you're telling me that it is a knas, so then the additional din it should have said, the Tam Eino Mishalim Al Piatzmo, Mu'ud Mishalim Al Piatzmo. It should have told us an additional din. V'miso listening Amiha. You should have taught me this din as well. That if you're, it's a knas, so Modi B'knas is Potter. So if the owner says, listen, I'm sorry, my ox gored your ox, I'm really sorry. If you're telling me it's a knas, then he doesn't have to pay the chatzin ezek. If you're telling me it's mamo, then he has to pay the chatzin ezek. So why didn't it list that on the Mishnah on Tezayin Amidays? So it says, because Tana Vishir, because as you mentioned many times, the Tana of the Mishnah is not a peddler, he's not a rochel, that he has to list everything. Sometimes we'll list some and not the others, but the rule is that you'll always at least, if you're going to say Tana Vishir, there's always at least two things that's left out. So this is one of them. He didn't list the Moda B'Knas, and there must be something else. So the Gemara says, my shir, the Hishir. What else is left out that we can say that there's two things left out? So the Gemara says, Shir Chatzi Kofer. He left out the din of Chatzi Kofer. We already mentioned that there's a kofar, a penalty that, Rechmon Islam, if your ox kills somebody, so there's a penalty that you have to pay. It's called kofar. So the din is that chatzi kofar, that the tam doesn't pay chatzi kofar, so you would have thought he pays chatzi nezik, so you should have to pay chatzi kofar. No, there is no din of chatzi kofar by a tam, and that's the second thing that was left out. It's not modeh. B'knas is potter. It left that out, and it left out that there's no din of chatzi kofer by a tam. So there's two things that are left out, and therefore tana v'shir. Where it says, wait a second, there is an opinion that says chatzi kofer is in fact a obligation of the short tam. So imishu chatzi kofer, you're telling me the second thing that's tana v'shir was the din of chatzi kofer, that he doesn't pay chatzi kofer, then lav shiru, that's not considered a shira, because ha mani, who is the author, potentially Rav Yossi Aglili. This could be Rav Yossi Aglili, who says the Omar tam mishalim chatzi kofer. He does say the tam mishalim chatzi kofer. So since this could be the opinion, the Mishnah could be Rav Yossi Aglili, then you don't have tana v'shir. So you must either therefore say that that Mishnah can't be going according to the opinion of Yosef Aglili, or that it goes, in fact, according to the Chachamim, that do say that there is no din of Chatzi Kofer. Okay. Mor says, try again. Toshma, and we turn to Tezvav Amidbeis. The following Mishnah, which is from Kisubos, says, Hamis Shori Es Ploni. If a man says, my ox killed so-and-so, or he says, O Shoro, Shor Ploni, or my ox killed so-and-so's ox. So, Harizem Mishalim Al Piatzmo. He has to go and pay. Now, if you're telling me that Moda B'Knas is Potter, so my Lab B'Tam, isn't that Mishnah in Kisubas also talking about a short time? And therefore, if you're telling me, Ravuna B'Di Rishua, that this is a Knas, so then if he is the one that admits, hey, Mishori is Ploni, or Oshori is Ploni, so then he's Moda B'Knas, so why should he have to play? Yet the Mishnah says he has to pay. Oh, must be that Rav Papa's right, and that this short time damage is a Mamona, and it's not Knas. Someone says, no. Lo, b'mu'ud. That Mishnah is only talking about a mu'ud. Everybody agrees that mu'ud is damaged, and therefore everybody agrees if you're mo'ud, if you're mo'ud on that, you still have to pay it. Gemara says, nu, avol tam, mai, so what's the halacha by the tam? Hochanami, the ein mishalim al piatzvo. So then everybody would admit then, if this is mo'ud b'knas, if you say like Rav b'Yehuda Yeshua, that this is a knas, so then you shouldn't have to go and pay the knas if it's chatzi nezek, because it's a knas. So why then, ihochi, keep on reading that Mishnah in Kesubos, it says right after that, Adetoni Seif, it says in the Seif of that Mishnah, if the guy says, Hamis Shorius Abdo Shoploni, if my ox killed that Eved, Eino Mishalim Al Piatzmo, he doesn't pay on his own. So instead of giving us that case, why don't we just say, Liflo Glunise Bididei? Instead of introducing a new case of Hamis Shorius Abdo Shoploni, what you should have done is Liflo Glunise Bididei. Within the case of killing a regular person, you should have said, when do we say that you don't have to pay? So that's when it's a short tam. But when do you have to pay? That's when it's a short mu'ud. So by a mu'ud, you have to pay, because that's everybody agreeing is damage. But since Chatzi Nezek of a tam is knas, according to Ravuna Beir Yeshua, the Mishnah should have said it. Avo b'tam enu mishalim al piatzlo. From the fact that the Mishnah had to go bring another case of the Hamis Shori Yisabdo, shows that it's not knas. So it says, no, the Mishnah still kula b'mu'ud kamari. It wanted to talk just about mu'ud. And therefore, it brought in another case of mu'ud and shows in some situations there is a enu mishalim al piatzlo. That clearly is a knas because the slave, whatever he's worth, you still pay 30 shekels. So that clearly is a knas. So it wanted to give us an example of knas, but only with a mo'ed, mu'ed. It didn't want to give us an example with a tam. Okay, so therefore, still no proof one way or the other for Rav Papa versus Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua. Try again. Toshma. The end of that Mishnah in Ksubos says further. It says, Zakal, this is the rule. The general rule is, Kol Mishalim Yosu Amashi Hizik, anytime that you're paying more than what the actual damage was, so then that's a knas by definition, and Eino Mishalim Apiatsu, and therefore Modi B'knas is Potter. So in the Kofar of an Eved, so who says the Eved is worth 30? Nevertheless, you always pay 30, so therefore that's a knas. Implication being, my lab, ha pachos mimashi hizik mishalim. But that implies that if the compensation is actually less than what the damage was, ha pachos mimashi hizik, then he does pay mishalim. But wait a second, if it's a knas, so the chatzi nezik is a knas, it's less than the actual damage. The damage was $500, he only has to pay $250, so then that's less than the actual damage, and it should be modem knas, should be potter. But that's not what the Mishnah says. Someone says, lo, no, you have to re-understand the Mishnah. It means, ha whenever you do the exact payment, it's for the exact amount of damage, that's called damage. But anything else is not called damage, that's called knas. Someone says, yeah, that's akasha. So what happens if the payment is less than half the damages? So then that's a knas, and you shouldn't have to pay it. So therefore, instead of giving us this rule, call mishalim yoser amashi hizik, enu mishalim apiatzmo, whenever you're paying more than the damages, that's a knas, and therefore if you're mode with knas doesn't have to pay. It should have said, listen, the Mishnah should have said, whenever you're not paying the exact damage, listen, is that cloud? The rule is, kol she'enu mishalim kimashi hizik, which is implying the mashma pachos umashma yosa. Whenever you're not paying the exact amount of the damage, that's a knas. So therefore, if you're paying more, or you're paying less than the damage, that's a knas. Chatzi nezik is therefore a knas. Tiyufta, the Rav Huna Breid, the Rav Yeshua. Tiyufta, we slugged them up. How do we paskin? The Gemara says, Hilchasa palkaniska knasa. And the Gemara says that we paskin over here that a chatzi nezik of a short time is in fact a knas. The Gemara says, what? To Yufta? We just slugged up Rav Huna the Rav Yeshua. And now you're telling me we paskin like him? The Hilchasa? Doesn't make any sense. Who says, yes, it does. In. It makes perfectly good sense. Because why did we say we slugged him up? Time am I have you to Yufta. What was the rationale behind saying to Yufta over here from the end of that Mishnah in Ksubos? Mishum de loktani kimo shehizik. Because it didn't say, if you did damage and you pay exactly the amount that you did the damage, so then you pay the amount, it's called the knas. So the reason why it didn't want to say that was because lo psikle, because it's not an absolute. There is one case, which we'll say in a second, where you're not paying the amount of the damage, and yet it's not a knas. It's a gzeris hakosev. It's aloch lemosh b'sinai. And what is that case? That's called chatzi nezek tsroros. And therefore, kivon de'ikar chatzi nezek tsroros, there's a special din that if the animal is walking and it kicks pebbles, and those pebbles go and damage, so that's a unique din, that's aloch lemosh b'sinai, that you only pay chatzi nezek. Now, that is not a knas. That's a gzeris hakosev. That's the hilchos gemira law, the mamonu. And we have a halach l'moshe b'sinai that this is called mamon and not knas. So therefore, mishum hachi loktani. So therefore, the Tana couldn't make a broad statement that whenever you pay a different amount of the damages, whether it's more or less, is by definition knas, because you have one exception to the rule. The ikor chatzi nezek tsaros. And therefore, that tiyufta wasn't really a tiyufta. And therefore, we can paskid like Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua that in fact, chatzi nezek of a short time is knas. And therefore, Bahashto the Amas Palgun is called Kinos. And now that we're telling us that the concept of Chatzi Nezik of a short time is in fact a Kinas, so we understand the following then. Hai Kalba, you have a dog, the Ochel Imri, which is a very unusual thing for a dog to eat a sheep. Sheep's much bigger than a dog. So the Shunra or a cat, the Ochel Tarnagola, that goes and eats a chicken. A chicken also is unusual for the cat to go and eat the chicken. So Mishunahu, this is a very unusual type of damage. And therefore, below magminon bibavel. And since this is essentially a knas that you have to pay, and therefore in Bava, where they didn't have smuchim, they didn't have the real smicha, like they had in Eretz Yisrael, which has to be generation from generation from generation, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we today no longer have smicha at all, but at least in the times of the Gemara, there was smicha in Eretz Yisrael. They were called Rabbi, as opposed to in Bava, they're called Rav, because they didn't have the full smicha in Bava. You can only give that full smicha in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, these types of damages where a dog eats a sheep or a cat eats a chicken, they're mishunahu, they're unusual. And therefore, they're like the damages of Karen, like a short tam. And therefore, the low magbinim bubble, since it's a knas, you can't go and adjudicate this in the Babylonian courts where they weren't smuchin. Now, v'hani mili b'ravavi, this is only when you have a dog eating a large sheep or a cat eating a large chicken, which is unusual. But if it eats a smaller animal, so the dog eats a smaller sheep. It goes and eats a brand new baby born sheep, or the cat goes and eats a small chicken or a chick. So then that's regular damages. Avo bezutre or chihu, and therefore the regular laws of damage apply. And of course, the Beis Din and Bavel can go and adjudicate regular damages. Now, the E Tofas, the Gemara continues and says, if the Nizak went and in this situation where the dog did the unusual damage, it ate the large sheep, or the chicken ate the large chicken, and the owner, the Nizak over here of that sheep or that chicken, grabbed something from the Mazik, the Tofas lo mafkino mine. We don't make him give it back. That's din number one. And Rashi explains that Nizak bevavel lo mafkino mine, we normally don't take it away from him in this situation, because we say that this is, he took the law basically into his own hands. There is a din that in this situation, a person where he doesn't have any opportunity to get it back from the court, ovid inish dino lenafshei. So in the certain select situations, he would be allowed to take that din into his own hands, and therefore he's allowed to, in this situation, grab something from the mazik to compensate him for the loss that the dog had caused his sheep, or that the cat had eaten his chicken. That's din number one. Number two, the Omar Kivuli Zimno de Azilna Liara de Yisrael. Likewise, the person, the Nizak, who lost his sheep, lost his chicken, can say to the Mazik, listen, in Bavel they can't adjudicate this case because it's a Knas, and in Bavel we don't adjudicate a Knas. Nope, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. There they have Smuchin, they have real Smicha over there, and we'll go and set up a court date over there. So if the Nizak says to the Mazik, let's travel to Eretz Yisrael, Kivuli Zimno de Azilna Liara de Yisrael, let's go together, set a date, and we'll go together to Eretz Yisrael. So then, Kavinalei, he can force this guy to go to Eretz Yisrael, even though that might be more of an expense than the actual cost of the sheep or the chicken. Nevertheless, he has the right to force him to go and adjudicate, because if you can't adjudicate it in Bavel, so then you are entitled to take him to the court that can adjudicate it. And therefore, the Ve'ilo Ozil, and if this guy chooses not to go, the Mazik says, no, I'm not going, so then we can put him into Shamta, we can put him into a type of Cherim, and therefore, in this situation, that will hopefully cause him to say, okay, let's make a compromise over here. I'll pay you a certain amount, and you'll be happy with that, rather than forcing me to go to Eretz Yisrael, which I'm not going to do, and putting me in Shamta, which doesn't benefit you at all. So these are two additional dinim. By the way, the Gemara says, whether the Nizak decides to take the Mazik to Eretz Yisrael or not, Mishamtino le adem esalek hezeka. So this Mazik, he has to go get rid of this dog or this cat because they're a damaging animal. They obviously are causing even unusual damage, and therefore you got to get rid of them. This is what's called a bad dog. So therefore, and we learned this out, me the Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson taught us this, didn't he? He said in the Braisa, the Tanya, Rabbi Nosson, Omer, minayin shlo yigad l'odom kelev ra. A person shouldn't raise a bad dog. He shouldn't have a rabid dog. He shouldn't have a dangerous dog, a vicious dog in his house. B'soch beso. So ayamod sulam ruah b'soch beso. Likewise, don't keep a ladder that is a broken ladder. It's a rickety ladder. And if somebody goes and steps on it to go and get something from higher up, it's going to break. And the Rachman son, they'll break their neck. How do we know you're not allowed to keep these things in your house? Not a kelev ra and not a sulam ruah. So Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "Lo sosim damim b'deisecha." Don't keep something that's going to cause blood loss in your house. Don't keep something that's going to be a damager in your house. So if you have this bad dog, get rid of it. If you have this sulam ruah, go and get rid of it. Okay. Now we start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that there are five examples of tam and five examples of muad. Chamisha tamin v'chamisha muadim. We have five examples of the din of tam, and we have five examples of the din of muad. So we start off with the din of tam. Habehema ena muedes. A regular shor is until it's proven to be a goring shor by goring three times, or by doing these types of toldos of shor three times, is considered a shor tam. So these are the five examples. Habehema ena muedes for the following: lo ligach. That's the av. That's to do shor shenagach. So it is not considered by definition to be a muad. It is by definition a tam until it gores multiple times. And likewise, lo ligov to push, lo loshoch to go and bite, lo lirbots to go and crouch and damage in that way, lo livo them to go and kick. So all of these are toldos of keren. So all of these are examples of a tam where you don't pay full damages. Okay, Mishnah tells us, what are the five examples of muad? So hashen muedes lechol es haroyla. Shane, if the animal eats something, so that's normal for the animal to go eat. It's muad right from the beginning. If it eats something that it normally goes and eats, if it eats something that is not normally edible, so then that's also unusual, and that wouldn't fit into the damages of Shane being muad. So Shane is a muad. All the damages of eating for pleasure are considered to satisfy the animal's desire to eat, to sustain itself. So as long as it eats something that it normally eats, so then that's an example where you pay full damages. That's one example of a muad. Number two would be haregel. Animals walk. So haregel muedes lishbor b'derech hilucha. A cow that's walking isn't careful. It doesn't step around the vase. It goes right through the vase. It doesn't care. And that's normal for it to walk. So therefore, this is also yivchayev muad damages, full damages from the very beginning. That's number two. Vishar ha-muad, a shar that originally was a shar tam, but then gored three times. So now it's demonstrated that it is a tendency to go and do this. So therefore, you pay full damages once it's a shar muad. That's the muad number three. Number four, vishar ha-mazik b'rishus ha-nizak. If your ox, which is a shar tam, but it goes in damages in the rishus of the nizak, where only the nizak has permission to keep his animal there, and you put your animal in there, and even though it's a shar tam, in that situation, that shar is considered muad for damages. So here's the fourth example. And the fifth one is man, adam. Man is always considered muad. He always pays full damages. Okay, so these are the five examples of tam and the five examples of muad. Mishnah tells us further, if you have hazev, a person owns a wolf, or ari, a lion, a dove, a bear, a nomer, as a leopard. In modern Hebrew, they also call a nomer a tiger. But in the Mishnah Hebrew, a nomer is always a leopard. It's spotted. It is spotted and like a leopard, so a nomer means spotted. A bardless, tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what a bardless is, a small predatory creature. And hanochush, and a venomous poisonous snake. All of these, harel and wadim, they're all presumed if they do any damage that they are going to do damage. All of these are predators. All of these are damagers. So even the first time, they're not tam. They're not considered like a short tam. They are considered all muad as well. Rabbi Elazar Omer, bizman shem b'nei tarbus ein wadim. No, he says if you have a domesticated wolf, a domesticated lion, or a domesticated bear, like you have a circus bear, so all of these animals are not usually going to cause damage. So in this situation, they're not considered to be muad, with one exception, and that will be the snake. But a snake is always considered muad. Snakes aren't domesticated. Okay, now the Gemara starts off and says, "Mi dikartani yashen muedes lecho." Since you're telling me that shein, the animal's tendency to go and eat to fill itself up, is always going to be, if it eats something that it normally eats, is going to be muad. Mechlal the bechotzer nizak askinen. We obviously are talking about that it's eating it in the nizak's backyard. You're eating it in a place where you didn't have a right to go. And if it's in the shusar abim, you can't expect the ox not to eat stuff in the shusar abim. So it obviously is talking about where the eating took place in the rishus of the nizak. Uktani behema and we had this, but we had said in this situation, that the behema doesn't have to pay the full amount for the original dinim, which we said was for the short time, for the goring or the pushing or the biting or the crouching or the kicking. So if that is talking about that you only pay avochatzi negz v'shalemes, so what are we talking about? Mani, that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan, that the shein, you would pay the full amount eating over there, whereas a shard tam would only pay half amount. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. The Amri, they say that mishuna karen, the chatzar nizak, chatzi negz v'shalem, that even in the chatzar of the nizak, the Chachamim's opinion is that it's unusual for it to do damage in this way by goring or by pushing, etc., all the totals of Karen, and therefore, since it's unusual, even in the Rishus of the Nizak, you only pay Chatzi Nezek. But wait a second, keep on reading the Mishnah, Eima Seifa. But then the Mishnah said, Shor HaMuad, it said an example of Shor HaMuad, or the Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizak, or if the Shor is damaging in the Rishus HaNizak, and the Adam, and it says also in Adam. Now what do you see? Here you're talking about that it is going like, not like the opinion of the Chacham, Asana Rabbi Tarfon. This goes like the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon that says that even though it's a short time, it never regored, but the Omer, Mishuna, Karen, Bechotzer, and Nizak, that if this unusual damage takes place in the Chotzer of the Nizak, Nezak Shalom with the Mishalim. He's going to pay full damages for this. So we have a problem over here. The ratio of the Mishnah is the opinion of the Chachamim, the Rabbanon, that say, Mishuna Kerem Chatzar Nizak, ain't no Mishalim Chatzi Nezik Shalim, only play Chatzi Nezik with the Mishalim. Whereas the Seif was Rabbi Tarfon, where it says that Mishuna Kerem Chatzar Nizak, Nezik Shalim with the Mishalim. So we have a strange thing, without mentioning the appellations of the individual Tanoim, we have the ratio being one opinion, the opinion of Chachamim, and the Seif being the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. What's going on over here? What says in? This is exactly correct. The Amar Shmei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, as Shmuel had said to Rav Yehuda, we had this previously. Shivok Masnisin V'Soa Basroi. Leave the Mishnah alone and follow after me. Just like we learned yesterday that the Braisa was also the same thing, that the Reisha was Rabbi Tarfon there and the Sefer was the Chachamim. Here's the other way around. Here the Reisha is the Chachamim and the Sefer is Rabbi Tarfon. So We can't sometimes reconcile that it should be one nice opinion throughout, even though it didn't mention the name of the Tana with an association with the Reisha different than the Sefer. Nevertheless, Shmuel tells Rabbi Yehuda, Shavok Masnisim V'Sabas Roy, you sharp one. We mentioned many times, he calls him Shinana, either because he was so sharp, or we had that unusual interpretation that it meant he had long teeth, which, again, is difficult to understand because that's a pejorative way of referring to him. So it's much better to say Shinna means you sharp one, you're such a Talmud Charif. Leave this Mishnah aside, just like we left the Brice aside. It's impossible to reconcile it. Ella, Reisha, Rabbanim, the Sefer, Rabbi Tarfon. In fact, the Reisha over here is the opinion of the Chachamim, and the Sefer is the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, and even though it didn't state so, that is the correct way to understand the Mishnah. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.